Today's Wednesday, June 17th. We've got business and robot.
And AI, which counts as robot in our world. Why not? Why have separate categories?
It's a software robot, not a hardware robot.
Let's start with a little bit of protest news, because that's the big news, right? And the big companies are kind of... we talked about yesterday. Microsoft, Google, and IBM are all like, okay, whoa, we got to get away from any ties to police. You know, get rid of any kind of facial recognition, because, you know, that's what we're doing for them. I wonder, doesn't Google have some visual processing AI stuff that's not facial recognition? I wonder what they're doing with that.
It's probably, you can buy that product in the cloud, like it's self-service.
But you have to have a contract with the police departments, right?
I mean, think of it as if you could offer the product for sale, like Office 365, where it's like, we're not helping the police department. They're just buying our product.
That didn't work when they did it with the drones, the military drones.
Well, I would like to buy one then. No, I'm sorry. You can't buy one.
Anyway, other companies are facing pushback within their own ranks. And we've heard about a lot of the social media companies before. We've already had those stories. But now... some to the non-social companies.
250 Microsoft employees call on the CEO to cancel police contracts and support defunding the Seattle Police Department. So 250 doesn't seem like a lot of Microsoft employees, but they did actually get a response. The Microsoft CEO said they were going to, you know, put a pause on their law enforcement face recognition contracts. So,
also, what's Microsoft going to do about the mayor and defunding the police department? God help us if Microsoft has that kind of pull.
Well, the funniest story about Microsoft is their campus couldn't support more than two-story buildings because the local fire department couldn't rescue people from more than two-story buildings if something caught on fire. So Microsoft was finally like, if we buy you a really nice police truck or a fire truck so that you can rescue people if the building catches on fire. And then they were like, okay, you can have more than a two-story building.
They should have been like, well, how many buildings you got? Because we need that many fire trucks. What if they all catch on fire at the same time? YouTube, meanwhile, is doing their own version of this. However, this one seems a little self-serving.
Yeah.
Something tells me this is going to result in videos that are going to be forced into my feed, even though I've clicked that stupid X 10 million times. I don't want you. I don't want you there, YouTube.
YouTube creates a $100 million fund for black creators and artists and sets a fundraiser special hosted by Common and KK Palmer. I hope I said that right. I'm sorry if I didn't.
I don't know if it's KK or Kiki. Out of touch.
It does seem...
Well, okay. Let's look at...
I mean, it's good, but it does seem a little disingenuous of YouTube.
But I know what you're about to say. So let's look at this. We don't need to read this. Let's just take a look at this list. And if you are someone who is out there on the streets, afraid for your life, angry, protesting, how is giving these people money helping you?
Yeah. I think they also announced that they were going to give money to other causes that are perhaps less on the nose, but still.
Seems like a PR stunt.
Yeah.
So, whatever, you know, maybe it'll be good. We'll see. Now, last week, we talked about the Internet Archive, and they did the thing with the lockdown. You're going to get more digital copies of books because we can't go to libraries. Some libraries have opened back up. I think ours has, like, drive-up service now.
Yeah.
But still not great. And the publishers said, no, we will destroy this.
They filed a lawsuit.
We will nuke it from orbit.
That's still pending.
And the question is, how much power do the publishers have? Even though this seems like a really good thing for the people, can they shut it down?
Yes. The Internet Archive kills its free digital library over copyright concerns. The sheer scale of the Internet Archive's infringement described in the complaint and its stated objective to enlarge its illegal trove with abandon appear to make it one of the largest known book pirate sites in the world. Now, that is the Association of American Publishers.
You picture like a dragon guarding these digital books. And these publishers coming in, it's like the White Knight.
There's a lot of people, like, this is probably going to go to court. I don't think this will be settled out of court, maybe. But this will probably go to court. I really hope that the Internet Archive is able to get a major win in here for fair use. Because one of the major things the publishers are complaining about is they're taking a physical book and converting it into a digital book. That's format shifting. That should be okay. Similarly, at least if they have some documentation, some kind of a paper trail, where they go on the librarian's mailing list and it's like, hey, are you a librarian at this library? Did your library shut down? How many copies of X book do you have? And they, you know, let's say the total from all the librarians on the mailing list was 1,000 copies of that book. And then the Internet Archive made 1,000 copies available to that to lend for 2 weeks at a time. I don't see the problem with that.
Well, yeah, you don't see the problem with that, but you're not making the decision.
Is that okay in copyright law? It should be okay in copyright law.
But copyright law is always, you know, destroy it first and then figure out if it was okay to destroy it.
Yeah.
So.
Sadness.
Because it's just a digital copy, right? It's not like we're destroying anything real, except their argument is always the opposite.
Yeah.
Whatever. Well, the ISPs, when the whole lockdown started, they made a pledge. Most of them did. And they said, data caps, don't worry about it. We're patriots, and we know that you have to work from home. We're getting rid of data caps. We're not canceling your service. We are your friends. We're going to do what's right. We're really going to help you out. And I think most of those have fallen off at this point, right? Have they renewed all of them?
Some of them have fallen off. Some of them have not.
But one in particular doesn't really give you that if you do a little too much for their taste. How much is too much? Well, there is no number. It's just they point you out as a problem. And when they point you out, things get a little crazy.
Cox slows internet speeds in entire neighborhoods to punish any heavy users. Cox warns customers to lower usage and impose 10 megabits upload limit on gigabit plan. So the gigabit plan from Cox in this particular article was 1 gig with 35 megabit upload. And there was one customer they singled out who wrote into ours, and he was getting angry letters because he uses 8 terabytes in a month. His backup plan or his backup strategy is basically to do a full backup every night of all of his stuff, which amounts to about 8 terabytes of transfer per month.
Did you read the story update? The story update, somebody did the math, and they're like, oh, that doesn't account for 8 terabytes.
It's up plus down.
But he also admitted he was peer-to-peer serving some stuff, which is probably why they targeted him in the first place.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Not their business what he uses it for.
He's paying for unlimited. He literally is paying for unlimited, and it's an extra fee.
So the whole neighborhood gets punished, and they did confirm, yes, if there is an offender in your neighborhood, then
we throttle that node.
We turn everything down. And they were like, well, how many people have to offend? What's the limit? No, we're not telling you that.
I think it's really sad that we're like, all this freak out is not over 1 gigabit of download. It's over 35 megabit of upload, which, you know, again, the 96 Telecommunications Act, they promise 45 megabit symmetrical available to anybody who wants it for $20 a month by 2006.
But that's a date in the past.
That's a date significantly in the past.
You know what? I'm sure that $16 billion will fix that right up. For sure. Amazon. Now, Amazon famously has really made a lot of profit during the pandemic. They've done really well. There have been some hiccups, though. There have been some controversial stories. This is definitely one of those stories. This begs the question, if a building is designed as a warehouse, when does it stop being a warehouse? That's the question that Mr. Bezos wants you to ask.
Amazon, pushing fashion studio, opened photo studio as a warehouse exemption. It's closed again, though. This was in Brooklyn. And so this is for product photography and fashion photography, I think.
So they took a warehouse. Yes, it was a warehouse. And they put up little cells. And each of those cells was an independent photo studio. They had, you know, like the full makeup thing, lighting, cameras, but curtains to, you know, like keep it separate. And they were just doing like mass market fashion photography, because they're getting into the fashion business on Amazon. And they said, oh, don't worry, this is a warehouse, we're essential. But the powers that be disagreed.
Nope.
Once they figured out what it was.
So it shut down again. But it shut down preemptively before anybody could complain about it. But this is another one of those things where it's like, Amazon.
But the way they were doing it, because like, you know, factory farm photo shooting, I bet they got a lot of stuff done in there.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, you know where they were previously doing all their photos? Right here in Kentucky.
Really? Wow.
I didn't know we had a big model industry in Kentucky.
Well, I figured it was just product photography. I didn't think about... Well, I mean, I mentioned fashion, but I didn't think about... It was mostly fashion. It was mostly, like, taking pictures of the Amazon Basics AAA batteries.
No, no, this was models coming in and out. And that's why it was sort of like a... You know, it really was like a farm. You know, they were just like, shut up. You know, go change your clothes, hit the makeup, and then hit... And then you didn't have to wait because they had these multiple cells all over the warehouse.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. They did keep Judy Garland small with tobacco, so...
Probably had a massive smoking area. Actually, it's probably just nicotine gum now, right? Or vaping. I bet it's vaping.
Vaping, yeah. Vaping, directly vaping the amphetamines.
Another problem that Amazon has is third-party sellers. They just cannot rein in those third-party sellers. The third-party sellers are very opportunistic. And we have had a situation where certain products are super valuable because of scarcity.
3M sues price gougers who used Amazon to sell masks at an 1,800% markup. 3M is tired of these shady pop-up resellers, as defrauded customers are. Yeah, I mean, I guess at one point we had like $90,000 of masks here in the building.
You really missed your chance.
We still have the masks. We did. It's fine.
The retail value of those is an average of $1.30 a piece, I think.
Yeah. Well, before the thing? Before the thing, no. It was way less than that.
Well, they had different levels of filtration.
Oh, okay.
The cheapest one, I think, was like 80 cents.
That was probably what we had.
Yeah. So, yeah. They made a lot of money, but they are going after them. And they did shut them down, but the way that Amazon is, you know, like this big sprawling hands-off approach to third-party sellers, they just put them right back up.
Yeah.
So,
3M in their lawsuit did say that any monetary winnings they get is going to go to charities and
buying protection equipment.
Yeah, so.
Although, I bet it'll be like, oh, all these winnings go to buying protection equipment. I'll place an order with 3M.
Yeah.
But hey, still better than nothing, right? They have really ramped up. I wonder, I guess based on how this thing ends, what kind of overstock are we going to end up with masks?
It's going to be crazy. But that'll be, I would be glad to, you know, have stock the bunker with some extras when they're, you know, 50 cents on the dollar.
Grab a 50 pack, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and just because they keep forever.
Have it for next time.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Or the next time I'm going to use the paint sprayer to like refinish a table or whatever. They're just right there.
You could have, just buy the rest of your life for home improvement projects.
Yeah.
And then you have them just in case. That's what you do, chat. Google. So when you have an Internet of Things product, we've seen this before, you want to integrate with the assistants and with all the Google features and stuff like that. But those deals can be like the Darth Vader deal. And they can be really bad. And in worst case, Google gets to look under your skirt and see what's running your whole operation there. And that's what Sonos says is exactly what they did.
Google sues Sonos in escalation of wireless speaker fight. So first, Sonos sued Google, and now Sonos is countersuing. I mean, Google is countersuing Sonos, so things are getting interesting. But this is some of what Google is suing for is patent violations. Google's like, no, we patented this. So that's the like the part that you're alluding to, like the whole like we're going to look under the hood and it's just going to be very invasive. There's not really a lot of argument that that's what's happening. Google's just saying we've got the patent on that.
Well, Google's saying, yes, we looked. We made them give us access because if they're going to put our software in it, we have to know everything. We took a good look. We looked it over. We did start selling a product that was almost exactly like that. But we invented that product before all of this happened. That's their argument. That's the basis of this suit. And Sono says, well, that's quite a coincidence, isn't it?
Maybe Google is the only one that filed a patent for it. I don't know.
You think they filed it after they
that's going to probably come out in the lawsuit, but that's what Google seems to be alluding to. They're like, oh yeah, well, we patented this, and now that you're kicking the bear, we're going to include this patent in it for our product. So
now Sonos' demands in the lawsuit are kind of crazy. They want everything with the smart speaker technology banned from import to the U.S., which includes like all the Pixel phones and all that stuff, which would be quite a blow to the Google company.
I don't. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that, you know, I can manufacture a system that is as good or close to it from PVC pipe and a Raspberry Pi. I'm going to go ahead and say that Sonos maybe doesn't have the best business model.
Yeah, I mean, the speaker itself is interchangeable. Well, it's not, but you could build a version where it is.
Yeah,
and it'd be much more valuable. So yeah, I'm sure the speaker wire running from their little module to the speaker, state of the art.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's actually like a whole other rabbit hole of things you can go down on the internet, is like the DIY like home theater speaker system. And there's some really incredible sets of plans on the internet that's just, you know, saw some PVC, glue this, get some particle board, do that, add some stripping on this, and it's like, if you go through, dot the I's and cross the T's, you'll end up with a really nice sounding system.
Twitch. Twitch famously has never enforced playing music on your channel. They're like, hey guys, it's against the rules. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Now in the VODs, they will usually mute it if the AI filter catches it. But live, who cares? A lot of people don't care about their VODs. So they're like, eh, whatever, I'm going to play music. But here's the crazy thing about it. Other people can make clips while you're streaming. Those clips were not created by you, but you're still responsible for the copyrights in those.
Twitch streamers receive a flood of music copyright claims for old clips. They could receive bans for clips they didn't create themselves. Wah, wah. So things are changing in Twitch. There is another version of this article I read that said that this actually, like the detection algorithm or whatever, was getting to the point where it could detect that kind of stuff in live streams. Your live stream might just end.
So they cut you off now?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but that wasn't mentioned in the Engadget article. But that was something that I read that is either coming or is here.
Wow. That's better than a strike though, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's contrast that to, you know, the whole Amazon thing, Amazon Prime. So any movie that you can get on Amazon, or just about any movie on Amazon, you can watch it together with your fans and react to it on Twitch.
We should start doing that.
Yeah. With Krista, who she's never seen any movies.
Oh my God. You think we'll ever get her back in the office?
I hope so. I mean, it's not looking too good, but I hope so.
We should definitely like plan to do that. Yeah. That would be hilarious. And we can stop. We should come up with little like things where like we stop at certain set points and allow the chat to quiz her and like, you know, take her temperature on that. That'd be funny.
Krista watching Die Hard, or, you know.
Krista experiences the 90s. Now, Apple, the big developers conference is happening. It's not going to happen live, though, right? It's going to be online.
Online, yeah.
I can't remember exactly. But everybody's wondering, what's the big announcement's going to be? What's going to be the new... You know, everybody gets real hyped about this kind of stuff. And it seems like one thing... We already talked about this, right?
Yeah.
But everybody expects that finally we will hear this major announcement.
Apple plans to move its own Mac, or its Mac line, to ARM chips. And this is probably going to be announced at the Worldwide Developers Conference. This is not confirmed at the time that we're shooting this video. It's just that, you know, I'm sure that anybody looking at, you know, the $50,000 Mac Pro with its 28-core CPU and 1.5 terabytes of RAM is like, man, the performance on this thing kind of sucks. And it's like, all right, Apple's out. They're yeeting Intel.
But that's a big move, you know? You're moving away from x86, and all the developers going to have to optimize for that. It's like, how do you think that you're going to get away with that? How are you possibly going to afford such a major thing and do it all yourself?
Apple becomes the first U.S. company to hit a $1.5 trillion market valuation. After strong performance yesterday, that pushed Apple's stock up. Wow. Yeah, Apple has had really good success with ARM in their phones. And Apple, there's a sort of off the record but sort of open secret thing where, you know, Steve Jobs went to Intel repeatedly and said, Intel, you've got to get your power management act together on x86 because we want to use it in the MacBook Air, we want to use it in this, we want to use it in that. And, you know, here we are.
Does Adobe have optimized versions?
So I think what's happening is the executives are looking at the Adobe products that Adobe has created for like the iPad Pro with its ARM CPU. And mm-hmm. so like 4K editing on the newest iPad Pro with the Adobe software that's designed specifically for the silicon in the iPad Pro, it's a dream. It will outrun a MacBook Pro.
But they did mention that it's not going to be iOS, it's going to be macOS still.
Yeah, so I think that there's going to be a little bit of a rude awakening here because even though ARM is really good at what ARM does, I don't think it's quite to the same level of versatility. So for the not feature parity version of video editing software for the iPad Pro, yes, it's a good experience, but the universe of possible video codecs and resolutions and bit rates and crap like that is much smaller than on desktop computers. And so the reason your MacBook Pro doesn't run as well is because it's doing a lot more work in software that the iPad is doing in hardware. That's how ARM wins. But I think that Apple is going, I will be impressed if this actually comes to fruition. I think we actually need a new company doing new cool stuff with ARM in order to bring that to the ARM ecosystem, but we're not there yet.
But that, I mentioned Adobe because obviously that was the big sticking point for such a long time.
Yeah.
And finally, just recently, they got their Adobe.
Yeah.
And now Apple's going to pull the rug.
Yeah.
Well, Apple wasn't the only company to hit a ridiculous metric when it came to valuation and stock price. It's everybody's favorite. Oh, so many of you just smug out there. I can see it. I can sense it already.
Tesla becomes the world's most valuable automaker and hits $1,000 per share. Good Lord.
Now, once again, you got to remember that the other companies on this list have basically been shut down for 4 months.
Yeah.
So that did take a toll on it. But comparatively, in terms of sales, yeah. Jesus, Tesla is nowhere near Toyota. It's amazing that they've hit this mark.
You think maybe it's overvalued?
Oh, maybe.
You know, it wasn't that long ago that AMD was like $3 a share.
And AMD is, price to earnings is insane.
Yeah.
Like it's way blown out. Nothing like Tesla, but still, it's like there is a lot of hot money.
Yeah. And
do you know that we've raised the national debt?
It's $25 trillion at this point, isn't it?
26. In the last the last 5 weeks was that last trillion.
We're going to die.
But before we die, maybe we'll see the next generation of consoles.
Here's your first look at the PlayStation 5 console and its discless counterpart. So it's like, oh, we've got the digital edition and then the regular not digital edition, which looks basically the same, but a little thinner.
That's interesting. A lot of people say it looks like a router.
Yeah.
Kind of does.
It's really annoying that all of the console, all of the devices that you are supposed to have in your living room are all turning to vertical orientation. Meanwhile, all of the furniture is designed for horizontal orientation.
Well, you can lay it down. They point out that it's...
Yeah, it probably isn't going to breathe as well, though. I mean, think about the stuff that's in there and how warm it's going to get.
It's got that nice slope so the dust can fall off of it easily.
Yeah, a lot of YouTubers got some early hands-on time with the PS5, and it does look pretty cool. A lot of Zen goodness under the hood.
Yeah, that tech demo. Although, did you see they admitted the tech demo was running on a 2080?
No.
Yeah, it wasn't a PS5.
Come on.
One thing that you might get with your PS5 is VR. Because VR did see a resurgence during the lockdown, right?
Yep.
Obviously. You know, you're stuck in your house. Why not get some VR? Well, this might be a reason not to.
Developer warns VR headset damaged his eyesight. So this was, I guess, the thing where, like, both of your eyes look in the same place. This guy's eyesight started to get messed up. He started getting headaches and stuff. He went to his ophthalmologist. I can't remember if that's the right word or not. I always get them mixed up. Optometrist and ophthalmologist. They're different things. His eye doctor. And his eye doctor said, oh yeah, if you're wearing a VR headset, it could totally do that. Because his doctor also had a VR headset. And noticed that his eye was not sort of tracking things correctly. So,
but we have to point out he was using it for 6 hours a day
because he's a developer working on VR stuff,
and he also had a pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
So a lot of the articles like, well, the experts say this isn't a thing, but who else is using a VR helmet for 6 hours a day? We don't. I don't think we have the data here.
We soon might be to escape the horrors of our reality.
Just you're trying to live in your virtual world, but it becomes a little darker every day as your eyesight degenerates.
Like we said on Monday, Chris is not here. It's not the thing, but the general malaise is real.
They point out there is another version of VR that these guys are, not these, that guy, but like other people are working on, that beams directly into your retina. And they claim that people with very damaged eyesight got an improvement from that. Although, God knows what that would do to you over time. I mean, it just keeps getting more extreme until like your eyes, like little curls of smoke are coming off of it as you play Call of Duty. Whatever it takes. One more round. Netflix, in a brilliant piece of marketing and strategy, created a television show that wasn't just lampooning the government, but paralleling it in a bizarre way. And it seems that they're ahead of them at every step.
Netflix snags the Space Force trademark ahead of the U.S. military. But nobody's really worried about the military branch being confused with the Netflix thing. So this is probably not really an issue for that and a couple other reasons.
This is out. Have you...
I haven't watched it.
Yeah. I always forget that I have Netflix.
It's got Steve Carell. It can't be that bad, right?
I don't understand... are they supposed to be inept in that show?
Probably.
Like, it's weird that you can do that because it's not established yet. But imagine if you made a TV show where it was just like the Marines doing everything incorrectly and you called it the Marines. That wouldn't go over. If you'll recall, Facebook, when the whole deepfake thing was, it was after it had peaked, I guess, but it was still kind of hot. And people were afraid of it. That's when I think Wyden had like a congressional thing about it. So Zuckerberg said, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have a contest to see who can detect the deepfakes. And then everybody forgot about it. But it's over.
Facebook announces the winner of its deepfake detection challenge. The winning submission spotted tampered videos 82% of the time. Well, that's great. That's going to be more successful than YouTube's demonetization algorithm.
Well, so a coin flip. Now, they gave it two tests. One was a known set of videos, and another one was videos that they messed with, but not deep faked. Like, they tried to false positive it. And I think they only did like 60-some there, but 82 overall, which was better than anybody expected.
The other interesting thing is Facebook actually hired like 2,500 actors to produce these videos. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, they didn't want professional lighting. And they didn't want makeup and stuff like that. They wanted it to be like real. The kinds of videos that could trick you into thinking that they're real videos if they were deepfaked. Although, you know the deepfake guys are taking that data set, if they can get their hands on it, and improving based on the detection algorithm. Or if they ever put it online where it's like, upload here to see if this is fake, they'll use that to automate testing. It's going to be interesting. If you, who is going to public pools right now? That just seems like a risky
behavior.
Just a big soup pot of bad stuff. At the best of times, that's what that is. But if you can get this for your own private pool, although, God, what do you think that costs?
A lot.
A lot of money. But if you are super paranoid and you're a swimmer, AI has you covered.
Pool owners take up AI to prevent drownings. So there's underwater cameras and some other cameras. Maybe we could GitHub this one. It's like we talked about, GitHubbing the face recognition. Maybe we can do this, the level one builds this and you just use some off-the-shelf security cameras. And
we don't have a pool.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we can convince Krista to buy a house with a pool. And then just immediately start drilling it. So this is also kind of creepy that there's an always-on set of cameras below the water level in your pool.
Yeah.
which, but it can supposedly detect when you're thrashing around in the drowning.
And then no motion. And you know, it's like, oh, that looks like a person.
Some punk kid is going to like figure out how to trigger it every time and be like, oh, I got you.
I was thinking about the holographic sticker. Like some punk kid is going to stick a holographic sticker underwater and then that just completely disables the pool's ability to detect drowning.
We could make swimsuits and shorts that trigger it every time. I wonder if it'll detect peeing in the pool.
That would be the better use of AI.
That'd be a great use for it. Well, Space Force, you know, between Space Force and Musk, and, you know, it's an amazing time for space. We're really getting back into that space race after decades of kind of not being there. And one of the things that we got to do is get more robots on the moon.
Yep.
We cannot have enough robots on the moon. I'll say it every time.
NASA selects Astrobotic to fly a water-hunting rover to the moon. So, yeah, we're going to deploy a rover to the moon to look for water because if we're going to live on the moon, we need a source of water.
It's going to, I think it's the South Pole. Yes, the South Pole, where we assume there is ice. And it's going to try to figure out how much ice there is. And the way, some of this language in here was like, oh, they're building a you know, report to show the resource level and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, that's really like space capitalism, you know, like... scary future kind of stuff, kind of language coming out of there.
I'm pretty sure that if there were a you know, a Buick sized gold nugget just on the surface of the moon, we would be there tomorrow.
But then there's the question of how do you divvy that up? How much of that does Musk get?
A lot.
Well, that, here's a great movie. So private space company goes to the moon to get the nugget, and they get the nugget, and it's on its way back, but as it's re-entering, it shuts down and goes into the ocean. And so you have, it was planned, it turns out, it was planned all along, spoiler alert, and you have all these different groups vying to get to the nugget.
I think you just described the, it's Ocean's 385.
Literal oceans.
Yeah.
The AI language stuff is really, really... Remember Google where they had the thing where it answered the phone?
Yeah.
But then that might have been fake.
Yeah.
It seemed like that was like the Holy Grail. I'm like, wow, how are they doing that? Oh, it might be fake. But we keep building more and more to... We want AI to be able to sit and just have conversations with us and type things for us. And actually, we'll talk a little bit more about how that can go wrong in the last story. But... it is really interesting when they make new leaps toward that, especially when people do it and they let you play with it.
Trillions of words analyzed. OpenAI sets loose AI language colossus. So they're calling it the API, and it's an API that will do translation. It will do original poem creation. That was one of the things they talked about. You can write an article given certain things, but it apparently has analyzed trillions and trillions of written words.
Now, if you're thinking, how do I get access to that? Well, you don't yet. They're not opening up to everybody yet. It's going to be open to certain companies. They did talk about one really cool thing they're doing already with it. There was a company that was doing like Dungeons and Dragons, except the Dungeon Master is AI. They're letting them use it.
Wow.
And they fed it like all the fantasy novels, and apparently it's just amazing to come up with it.
All kinds of original stories. And,
I would love to try that out.
That'd be fun.
That sounds really cool. The sports ball is done, but it is coming back. There's some sort of controversy about the NBA. I keep seeing in my news feeds, but I don't understand it. I think they're like, some of them don't want to come back because it's dangerous, but some of them are like, hey, I need money.
New Zealand declared themselves free of the contagion, and so everything has opened up 100% there.
Maybe all the sports just go there. Anyway... when we do return to sports, as we certainly will, there's too much money for us not to, things might be a little bit different, and it might be a little more dystopian than you remember. And this is an excellent, excellent example of the things that you might deal with.
30,000 unsuspecting Rose Bowl attendees were scooped up in a facial recognition test. Now you might be thinking, wait, did they reopen that? No, this is from January. It's only just now coming to light.
Yeah, well, college football wouldn't be played right now anyway. So it's interesting. They talk about it. It could guess your, it would do facial recognition. It could tell, you know, like different things about where you were sitting and, you know, gender and age and stuff like that. But here's the creepy one. Individually, like, it could get your seat number and it could tell them how long the person in seat 38B looked at the advertisements. How terrifying is that?
That's like Futurama. That's literally a thing from Futurama.
How long until we get tickets to events where it's like, okay, you're getting the discount ticket for $49.99, but you've committed to a 6-minute view.
A 6-minute view and a quiz about what you saw.
Well, they don't need the quiz because they know if you were looking at it or not.
No, no, you can get a better discount if you have better recall about what you saw.
No, okay.
That way you can't just tune out.
They just do that on your phone, right?
Yeah.
Like halfway through the concert, they're like, we're going to take a quick break. Everybody get out your app and answer the verification questions. And if you don't do that, the ushers come drag you right out. They hold your head up to the Jumbotron.
I'm pretty sure that's already been in like 7 or 8 episodes of Black Mirror where it's like, oh, I don't have enough for bus fare, but I can watch an ad.
Well, they pointed out they used this same thing at the, oh God, what's her name?
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor Swift. Behind the scenes footage when you came in, really they were scanning for stalkers.
Yeah. Well, I could imagine that she would need that.
They said she has hundreds of stalkers.
She has such a carefully maintained image. She's like the bonsai tree of celebrities.
Well, she's gone political now.
Oh,
turning a lot of people off. Yeah. You think that, I mean, it's got to be some kind of crazy trip, but is it just massive ego building or is it just pure terror? If I told you right now you've got hundreds of stalkers.
Pure terror.
I don't know. I think it probably got to be good for your image a little bit.
Pure terror.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's terrifying, especially if you're a young girl. AI, often AI is used for terrifying things, but sometimes it's a weird mix of terrifying dystopia, but also kind of caretaking and loving, as much as an evil robot could be loving.
In virus hit South Korea, AI monitors lonely elders. Robot and Frank on Netflix, that's all I'm going to say. So, a smart speaker to keep an eye on your elderly relatives? Okay.
It's basically Alexa. And every day, the old people, the way they interact with Alexa is monitored. And if things get weird, they dispatch the government to come and check on you.
The dementia variable has ticked past 0.5.
They kind of point out, you know, it's like that sort of thing. Like, if you start, so Alexa could, for example, remind you about your medication. And if Alexa has to remind you about your medication more and more often, red flag.
I had to do an audit one time in one of those places. And like the whole, like, they paint the doors to look like bookshelves thing. Like, that's a real thing. A lot.
What is it in, like, Iceland or Switzerland or someplace where they have that one?
Oh, it's an entire village?
Yeah, but everybody who isn't a resident is, like, the guy at the post office is, like, a doctor or a nurse or something.
Yeah. That's a brilliant way to handle it.
Got to be expensive, though.
Yeah, seems like.
I'm going to just let the robots do it, right?
Yeah.
They also pointed out, they interviewed one of the old guys, and I think it was like 89 years old, and they were like, well, what do you think about this? And you're expecting him to be like, I don't know, it's kind of creepy. And his response was, well, I wish you could open the door, because if I'm collapsed on the floor and I'm talking to it, I don't want them to break my door. The priorities of, you know, the old men in Korea. And our final story is another in a long series of Microsoft getting AI a little bit wrong, embarrassingly. But this one also is weird. Like, what percentage of the journalists on staff would know the difference here, right?
Microsoft's AI, the headline is Microsoft's AI journalists confuse mixed race Little Mix singers on the MSN homepage. So it goes on to talk about how we need journalists to do this. But then they asked the band members for comment on this and they said, oh yeah, it happens all the time. So
now here's my understanding of this, but I still didn't quite get it. Little Mix is like a large group where everybody is mixed race, right? Is that what you took it from?
That's what I took away, but I was not brave enough to actually say that.
I suppose.
Because if you get that wrong, well, that's super offensive.
But that, my God, that's yeah. All right, fine. If you got to hate me for that, whatever. I'm trying to understand. As opposed to a mix of race people, right? Because if they're both mixed,
but if you get that wrong, you can't.
What are you going to take away from me? I've got nothing. If they're both mixed race, why would anybody be offended that you got the wrong one?
Oh, it had her name in the caption.
Oh, but no, but I'm saying, like, you're in the same group. I guess these are the two, right?
Yeah, it would be like the caption saying, like, you know, band member Elon Musk, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, no, you got that wrong.
But it's like you're in a pop group. Your shelf life is 6 months.
Listen, if it makes anybody in the chat or the audience feel better, I couldn't tell you which Spice Girl is which.
Well, come on. That's just ridiculous. I mean, Baby Spice looked really childlike. Posh Spice was very, you know, classy. Ginger Spice is an easy one, man. Come on. She was the redhead.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, Scary Spice was the black one. Not sure if you get away with that in the modern era.
Well, I think they're going to have to change their name. That's not very correct anymore.
I think she married Eddie Murphy. So she's probably doing quite well for herself these days.
Well, we got a lot of nonsense for you Friday.
A lot of nonsense and
a scary amount of nonsense.
What's the one we haven't done yet?
Social.
So we'll see you then.